Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, July 8th, 2018. Reverend Kay Whitney is our guest minister today. Her sermon is, "I Wonder, How Do I Tell Others About God?" The Old Testament lesson today is from Psalm chapter 48, verses 9 to 14. The New Testament reading is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13.
Most of you, there we go, and we're ready to go, and thank you choir and musicians for the beautiful, beautiful anthem. It was really great. I'm not used to having a choir, and it's just such a gift to have that and organ, and wow, you guys are blessed, whether or not you realize it. So, the New Testament today is from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Listen for the words that they might speak to you. It's still in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's been out for a while, but not a lot. So Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Won't you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How do I tell others about God? I feel, not particularly comfortable about bringing up the subject. I know I'm supposed to be excited, especially about telling others about Jesus, but there it is. I've always got a reason not to do anything about it and say that I'm reluctant. Absolutely. Because I don't want to come off as one of those people that goes out on the street corner or goes up and attacks, forgive me the word, every person they can to share the gospel. They won't give up, even in the face of no thanks. You know the people I'm talking about. So I asked myself, just what is it that you want, Jesus? Have you really felt that way? No, you wouldn't. No, just kidding. I'm sure we all have. But we were given that great commission, weren't we? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I never really stopped to read it closely, but it says to go and make disciples of all nations, not to go and convince everybody you meet and to tell them what it is that you want to share. Does that give me an excuse? I don't know. I never really liked today's gospel. I don't know if you did or not. The fact that Jesus wasn't honored in his own hometown. then why couldn't Jesus do any healing or any special miracles there? He was capable of anything, wasn't he? And everything. We know that he'd been doing great deeds before he got there, because his reputation had preceded him. But then Nazareth, everything came to a screeching halt. Is it possible that the time was just not right? That perhaps Jesus chose not to do that which he was capable of doing? He could not, or was it that he would not, go any further with his work in that village? That he chose, or they chose, more importantly, not to listen to him or accept him. They were not, those Nazareans, going to listen, no matter what. Their minds were set. So what did Jesus do? Did you catch it? He turned away and walked on. Have you ever encountered a situation like that? Come across people that just don't want to listen to you? They disagree with you and your viewpoint? It might be a difference of opinion, a viewpoint, but you can see that the conversation is going absolutely nowhere at all. Do you continue to argue your point, to try to push it down on people? Or do you just walk away, knowing that to create any sort of change in their mind is going to take, forgive me, an act of God? Sometimes that's what it takes. But then sometimes we're wrong too, but we'll not go that route. We'll say, sometimes we need to just turn away and walk away. So I think that for Jesus at that time, it was just one of those not the right time moments. Because the people knew Jesus as the son of Mary and Joseph, the son of a carpenter. He was 30, which meant that he was now able to go in and take on teaching roles in the synagogue. But in their minds, he'd had no special training to carry this off. And by whose authority was he teaching? They knew all about his family. His sisters were even there. They said, we know him really well. We know all about the time when he was little and growing up. He couldn't possibly be a special prophet. Not at all, in spite of what the people said. When people are so set in their ways, believing that they know they are right, they can be impossible to convince of anything else. I see it in the hospital where I work as a chaplain one day a week as a volunteer, especially when I walk into a room on what we call a cold call, someone that hasn't necessarily requested to see a chaplain. Sometimes I get the response of, I don't want you, I don't need you, I don't want to see you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And when I do, I sort of smile and I say in my sheepish way, sometimes I think it's the gray hair, I don't know. I say, well, I just wanted you to know that in the hospital, there's healing that goes on, that's physical healing, but sometimes your spirits need healing as well. And that's what I'm here for. If you need a boost in your spirits or to help you think about another way of looking at your sickness. But if you're fine, just say, I'm fine, and I'll disappear. I'm not trying to convince you of anything at all. That's one key line that seems to make a difference, because it seems to make me seem more safe if I'm not going to convince or take on any sort of challenging of them. And I try to stay away from that and engage them a little bit more in conversation. And sometimes the conversation does go deeper and we can talk about faith. Other times it doesn't. But it gets them to think about where they're at and what things could be different. I've learned not to take it personally, but just to smile and move on. Well, the people in Nazareth were just not ready to listen. So Jesus went on his way, continuing his work. I wonder if this was to teach his followers a little bit about what would be coming and how to respond to it. That not every time would people be welcoming. Well, the next part we read in the gospel was that he sends his disciples out two by two to proclaim the message of the gospel, which is to repent. But he gave them a particular challenge. He said they could not take two coats to change one from the other. They couldn't take any food, any money. They could only have the sandals on their feet and one staff to help them with the walking, but that was it. He also gave them advice that if they were not welcomed, they were to do what? Shake the dust off their shoes and keep on trucking. Just keep on moving. I thought that was an interesting bit of advice because he knew what would happen and he gave them advice the same way he does us. Well, it made me think about the song that says, turn, turn, turn to everything. There's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Well, I thought back to a neighbor one day. She and I were putting up curtains in my room when I was still teaching. Okay, so you've got, I was not a pastor type person. I was just like you, and I still am, okay? All right. So we were putting up curtains in the room, and all of a sudden, I knew that she had left the church. She said, Kay, what do you believe about God? I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? We don't talk about God. We just are. What should I say? Because I don't want to mess anything up for her. I want to make sure that she gets the right idea. Well, I put that aside, and I just shared briefly what I believed about God. And she said, oh. And we went back to work hanging up the curtains. And I never really heard anything more about it. And I often wondered about that conversation. I don't know if anything changed for her or if it was me that had changed. Sometimes encounters that we have don't necessarily change others, but change us within. And the fact that I still remember it after all of these years, and it must be 25 or 30 years, easily, it had an impact on me. Have you ever had a similar experience? You don't go looking for it. It just sort of comes your way. A Holy Spirit moment, if you will. At least that's what a friend of mine calls it. She tells me that it's God at work, putting us just in the place where we need to be with the words we need at the time in order to get God's work done. Those are the ones that I go, whoa, where'd that come from? Do you catch what I'm talking about a little bit? I think of a waitress once that was serving us in a restaurant. We had gone out to dinner, my husband and I, but she was being very, very gruff, not very pleasant to deal with. And I thought, Larry and I commented on this, and I thought, well, I think I'll just ask her. I said, how's your day going? I didn't want to say, it sounds like it's not a very good day, by the way you're acting and treating us. But I just said, how's your day going? And she stopped. And she said, you know, you're the first person that's asked me that. And this is my first day back at work, and my father just died last week, and I'm having a really tough day. Wow. I sort of let her talk a little bit. I didn't try to say, oh, it's going to be all right, you know, the typical, what you might expect, faith response. I just sort of let her talk and listened. Her outlook changed from that moment on with us. And I had another experience recently with someone else that the same thing happened. I don't go looking for them, they just happen. Have you had those experiences? I don't know. Sometimes that's the one thing that has an impact on others, and that's our taking an interest in them, listening to them. I bet the disciples were not all that fired up to go out and to speak, to evangelize, if you will. They weren't even given the words to speak. I wonder how much that was bothering them. But I thought back to Moses, who was being given a charge way, way back in the Old Testament. And it was Moses who took on God and said, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. In other words, what are you going to do about it, God? I can't go out and speak. And what was God's response? Who gives speech to mortals? Is it not I, the Lord? I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to speak. Trust? Do you suppose that's what we're asked to do? To trust? To trust God when that occasion comes up? It might be with a family member. It might be with a friend, a neighbor, or somebody that we have no idea who it is. Someone that we encounter in our daily living. And it may be totally unexpected for us when we're called upon to share our faith, I bet. So what do we say? Well, I was thinking that the best way to go is to convey your own experience because that's what you know the most about, isn't it? Why do you believe as you do? A very easy starting point to talk about ourselves. Remember, the curiosity is coming from them, not from us. And we're not being asked to convince them to take on our viewpoint. And we're not being told, you've got all the answers. We may not. But we're being asked to share our belief. What it is we feel inside, right? And what we've experienced in life, our experiences. They may accept it. They may choose to ignore it. But whatever they do with it, it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility, our job, is to be a mouth. Eyes, ears, to listen and to look for that time where it seems like something inside is nudging us to speak. And when we speak, it's to relate how we have experienced God acting in our lives. Because that's most real for us. That's most authentic. One of those words that's very important right now, to be authentic in who we are. But then it's up to the Holy Spirit to go to work. Not us, the Holy Spirit. Maybe they'll accept our words, maybe not. But remember that Jesus had that same experience, so you're not alone if they don't accept it. You're in good company, may I say. So I thought I'd just reaffirm you that we're not in the business of apologetics. At my church, I had one person who was just really gung-ho for apologetics. What is that? That's where you can quote scripture and quote doctrine and everything else at people and to really convince them that this is the way it's supposed to be. That is a gift for that particular person and that particular approach. And it was interesting to me because there was another person that joined my church who had a boyfriend that needed that approach. But that would never have been my approach. Each one of us have our own approach and who we are. That's what makes us individuals. So that's why I say we're just simply invited to share our story and to trust that we're not totally responsible for what happens as a result of it. Not us. Who is it? The Holy Spirit, God. Yeah. I liked the charge of the psalmist that you heard Joan read in the psalm right at the very end when the person had been walking around and seeing all of the temples and all of the things and how wonderful God was. And that the psalmist took on the responsibility, put this into his psalm, that we are to tell the next generation that this is God, our God, who will be our guide forever. If we don't tell it, nobody's going to tell it anyway else. But people more likely listen to our experiences, don't they? And our stories. We're story-minded people. Our faith is a precious gift where you can look back and see where God has acted in your life. Various times and places. Maybe you don't see it all the time. No, I sure don't. But there's been special times that really stand out for you. Those are the ones that you want to be open to sharing with others. It's your unique story that's been given a purpose. And above all, it allows you to share that one in whom you believe. And that's what Jesus was asking his disciples to do. To go out with nothing more than who you are. Stripped down version, right? To tell what you've seen, to share what you've heard, what you've experienced, to be open to sharing it, and to be aware that people may not want to hear you. If so, don't push it, just move on. Does it have to be long and involved? Not necessarily. Someone once gave me a short description of how to answer. Give an elevator talk. Have you heard that word, elevator talk? It's how much can you say when the elevator is going from floor to floor? Okay, maybe more than one floor, maybe three or four, give you a couple minutes. What would you tell someone in an elevator talk about your faith? I was thinking about myself, and one of the things that was most important to me was when I was 13 that brought me to the church, made me really believe what was going on. I'd been to camp one year, and it was the second year, and I really wanted to go, but my family had no money and couldn't afford to send me, and I just was wondering, what am I going to do? And at the camp store, I had bought a pen, and it said, prayer changes things. Okay, I'll try this prayer changes things, see if it works, right? So I prayed, and time went by, and the little neighbor, and I call him little, he was a little gentleman, English gentleman, maybe 70s, and he had a little dog, Boozy. And he was going to be going out of town for a week and asked me, would I mind watching Boozy and taking him for walks and feeding him and so on. And I said, sure, no problem. So off he went. Boozy and I got along fine. When he came back, he gave me an envelope. I was not expecting an envelope. But what was in that envelope? You guessed it, exactly what I needed to go to camp. Wow. God does answer prayer. Now, this does not say that God always answers prayer the way we want it or how we want it, because God answers prayer in God's time and God's way and how God wants things to go to accomplish God's purpose. But for me, at that particular time, God's purpose and action was alive and well in my life. So I ask you to take a moment and think. Do you have an elevator moment in your mind? That's the teacher in me. Have to give you think time. But think about one of those elevator moments. They're there in your life or you wouldn't be here, I'm sure. Trust God. If you feel that internal nudge that says speak up, do it. Don't hesitate. The words will come. The words God needs to put forth that which God desires. Those are the important ones. How they're received or what is received, even when I'm preaching, it's not our responsibility. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. If I didn't have that faith in that, I wouldn't be up here preaching. Because that's too much responsibility for a person. It's a partnership with God. And then there's the choice that the hearer has as to if they're going to hear it or do anything. It comes down to choice. They might just decide that you and what you believe is not for them at that time. Can't stop you, though, from continuing to pray for them. Just might make a difference over time. But remember the words of Jesus to just shake the dust off your shoes and keep on trekking. How do I tell others about God? I need to trust that God is a part of the conversation if I feel that internal nudge that calls me to do it. That God will give me the words I need to speak, to be authentic, and I may trip and stumble over my tongue. It's okay. But the idea is to speak from your heart. That's what counts, to be authentically you. You're not trying to convince somebody else. You're not trying to fix them, to say, you have to believe the way I believe or else. You're just sharing your story. Trust God that God will take it from there. And realize you're not responsible for what happens next. It's the Holy Spirit. You've been given those internal nudges and encounters for a purpose. Listen to them. And don't be afraid to respond to tell others about God. May you feel comfortable with telling your story and knowing that God...
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.